Pei Wong, you've spoken about the need for ASEAN to integrate more closely and tackle challenges in a fast-changing world. You also noted gaps in implementing some of ASEAN's own agreements. You know, what steps do you think ASEAN should prioritize to bridge these gaps and build a stronger, more united region in the years ahead?
There are many things that ASEAN can do to accelerate our integration, and this task is more urgent than before, particularly in this new global environment, which is more uncertain and turbulent. In many ways, this is a moment of truth for ASEAN. We have to either step up and carve out a clear, purposeful role for ourselves in this changed world, or ASEAN will lose its relevance. And I'm glad that in this meeting, we had candid discussions on these new realities, and ASEAN leaders recognized the urgency of the work. And there was a renewed sense of urgency that we have to really push for closer integration. And that includes working on the full implementation of agreements that have been agreed upon. It includes making ASEAN completely tariff-free, reducing non-tariff barriers, working on more seamless trade, not just on the good side, but even on services, making ASEAN more attractive as an investment destination. So these are all traditional areas associated with trade and investments that we can work on. And then there are also new areas to integrate, especially in terms of digital connectivity and power connectivity. So there is a full agenda ahead for ASEAN. And we had very good discussions in this meeting to make sure that we make good progress on all of these areas.
PM, you called for a more coordinated ASEAN response to the US tariffs, but with member states facing different level of tariffs and some pursuing bilateral deals with the US, how do you think these approaches contradict and how can they be reconciled? And what's its impact on Singapore? And also noted that you met China at this summit as well. What is your sensing on where things are heading?
The approaches are not contradictory. We can approach engage America both bilaterally and collectively as ASEAN. Because ASEAN is diverse, and the individual members of ASEAN are at different levels of economic development, and our trade balances with America are also different, and the issues that we have with the U.S. are different. America itself may very well prefer to engage countries individually because the issues are so diverse. So ASEAN member states also want that flexibility to engage America individually. But there is also benefit for us to come together as a group to engage America as ASEAN. And the two are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they are complementary and, I would say, reinforcing, because actually we are not at cross-purpose. Whether engaging as individual member states or engaging as ASEAN, our objective is to reduce barriers with America, to reduce trade and investment barriers. So we will continue to work on both fronts. On the China, I had a good chat, just a short conversation with Premier Li Qiang, and he updated me on the discussions that he had and China had with America, and I'm glad that both sides have reached a deal in order to reduce the tariffs. So we have walked back from the brink, because at that kind of high levels of tariffs before, I think it was not going to be tenable for either side and would have grave consequences for the entire global economy. So it's good that the deal has been reached. But even at today's levels of tariffs, we are talking about a tariff rate which is much higher than what used to exist pre-Liberation Day. So you can be sure that there will still be impact on both sides. Because America importing goods from China, there will be an impact. It could impact their domestic inflation. It could have an impact on overall growth as well. So we are still concerned because America and China are two of the key growth engines of the global economy. And when both countries are still facing relatively high tariffs compared to before, it must impact the growth prospects for the two economies, but it will also have spillover effects on the rest of the world, and we will certainly feel it in ASEAN and in Singapore. So there are concerns still, despite what has been reached, despite the deal that has been reached, there are concerns about the way forward. But it also means for Singapore, we will just have to redouble our efforts to work with like-minded partners to strengthen our trade and investment linkages that with countries that are prepared to do so with us and continue to find ways to steer our economy through these challenging times.
Sharon from Business Times. You mentioned that the U.S. would prefer to engage ASEAN individually. So what are your thoughts on the U.S.-ASEAN special summit that was suggested by PM Anwar? How realistic is it that it will happen? And what's your assessment on whether Trump would be willing to engage with ASEAN as a bloc? And my second question is on Timor-Leste's ASEAN membership. What are some outstanding issues before they can be granted full membership, and how will Singapore support them?
Yeah, on America's engagement of ASEAN, I said for now, I mean, we think that America would want to engage with the individual countries, but we certainly don't rule out the U.S. wanting to engage ASEAN collectively. In fact, we would like very much for America to have close links with ASEAN collectively. And no one quite knows what the key, I mean, what America's key preoccupations and priorities are, and they have many concerns around the world to deal with. At this stage, maybe ASEAN is not uppermost on their minds, but certainly we would like America to be engaged in the region, and when America is ready, we will welcome that engagement with ASEAN. Your second part of the... Timor-Leste. Timor-Leste, there was an agreement reached in principle in 2022 by the leaders to have Timor-Leste as an ASEAN member in principle. And then a roadmap was put in place for Timor-Leste to become a member. Timor-Leste has made good progress on that roadmap. There are still some issues to be resolved, and there are still some economic agreements to be negotiated. But given the progress that has been made so far, the leaders agreed at this meeting that we will try and expedite the outstanding issues, provide full support to Timor-Leste, and we look forward to welcoming Timor-Leste as a full member of ASEAN by the end of this year. In other words, by the October summit this year. And Singapore will do our part to support this process.
Irma from Rita Harian. Could you share more about discussions that went on between GCC, the ASEAN-GCC summit? You've mentioned GCC is an important strategic partner. And also, specifically, was there discussions on the Palestine issue?
On GCC, we are glad that this time we had the chance to meet with the GCC countries and also together with them and China. We think this is important for ASEAN because for ASEAN to thrive and grow its relevance in this world, ASEAN really has to deepen existing partnerships but also strengthen its links with new partners. And GCC is one of these newer partners. We already have existing links today, but much more can be done. In particular, we look forward to being able to eventually have an ASEAN-GCC FTA. Singapore is the first non-Middle Eastern country to have an FTA with the GCC. We are in touch with the GCC to upgrade our FTA with them. But what we have today can serve as a model for ASEAN to build on, eventually to have an ASEAN-GCC FTA. And we hope this will provide more opportunities for both sides, win-win opportunities for trade and investments, because the Middle East is growing, it's transforming, and we think there are many opportunities there for our businesses. China adds a new element to the picture, so it's good that we had, for the first time, a summit involving all three parties, China, GCC, and ASEAN. And there may be a possibility to even think about beyond an ASEAN-GCC FTA, because ASEAN already has an FTA with China. In fact, we are making version 3 update of the FTA later this year. So if the three parties can come together to have a trilateral FTA at some time down the road, ASEAN-GCC and China, I think that would be even more effective. Of course, the more ambitious plan is to think on a larger scale, not just China, but RCEP, of which ASEAN and China are part of. And if RCEP and the GCC can come together to form some form of a partnership, I think that's significant, because collectively the RCEP and GCC economies make up 35% of the world's GDP. So that's a very significant part of the world economy, and if we can facilitate trade and investment flows within the two blocks, the two groupings, there will be significant benefits for all. So those are some of the things we discuss with the GCC countries. Palestine was also discussed, raised in our discussions. All of us are very saddened by the humanitarian disaster that's taking place in Gaza. It's the result of Israel going too far in its actions. And so we condemn the actions that are taking place now, the loss of life, and we call for a cessation of hostilities, but also a return of hostages. We know there are efforts by the international community, by key countries, to try and get all sides, all parties towards such an outcome, including getting all parties to comply with international law and international humanitarian law so that humanitarian aid can be delivered to those in need. But a ceasefire is still not enough, because even after a ceasefire, you can have a ceasefire for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, even years, violence can still recur again. The only way for a durable solution to this conflict is a two-state solution, a negotiated two-state solution. And again here, there are international efforts to get parties towards such an outcome. It is going to be very complex. It is going to be extremely challenging given what has recently happened. But the international community is doing its best, and Singapore will do our part to facilitate these efforts as well.
During swearing in that the strong and clear mandate that Singaporeans gave you and your team during GE actually put us at an advantage for Singapore to conduct our foreign policy. So this ASEAN summit being the first multilateral meeting after that, you know, how did it benefit us in advancing our policy? And we heard how PM Anwar congratulated you during the plenary.
Many leaders congratulated me. Well, almost everyone I met congratulated me. But it also means one thing, that they took note of the election outcome. They were watching our elections, and they took note of the outcomes. If the outcomes had been different, not as good or not as strong, a clear mandate, if I had been re-elected but with a reduced mandate, diminished standing, for example, I'm sure they would have still given some polite words, because at these meetings, everyone is quite polite to one another. But I am also quite sure that at the back of their minds, they are making their own internal reassessments. Is this someone I should continue to engage? Is it worth engaging this person? Maybe I should wait and see. Maybe we don't have to do such a, you know, pursue him or consider such aggressive follow-ups for now, and then maybe we can think about it later. So I'm sure these things could have happened if we had a different election outcome. And so I am very grateful that Singaporeans have given me and my team a clear mandate, because I think it is a significant advantage for Singapore and for the government. With this clear mandate, we have the ability to engage our counterparts with confidence, and we have the ability to make use of the mandate, make full use of this mandate in the next 5 years, in this term of government, to advance and secure Singapore's position in this changed world. And we will certainly do our best in this endeavour.
PM, calling from Chinese News here. Singapore's role in ASEAN 2045 declaration, and also how can Singapore business and Singaporeans benefit from it?
We were part of the discussions that led to the 2045 declarations. I think what's more important is not just having the vision statement, setting out what we hope to do in the next 20 years, That's already an important achievement, but it's also the actions that must follow. And we talked about all the things that we need to do beyond the rhetoric, all the concrete steps that we can take to advance ASEAN's integration. And Singapore will certainly do what we can, working with all our ASEAN member states to advance these outcomes. The second part of the question is?
How can Singapore business and
Whatever we do, we want Singaporeans to benefit. And so certainly the closer integration within ASEAN, as well as the partnerships that ASEAN forges with its partners, ought to create more opportunities for our business community, including in markets that they may not be so familiar with. So what the government can do, what our government agencies will do, certainly is to raise awareness amongst our business, SMEs especially, business owners, what these opportunities are, provide them with maybe even visits to some of these countries so that they can see for themselves the opportunities in these new markets, help link them up with business counterparts in these countries too, so that on their own they can start forging more private sector deals. So these are all things that the government can facilitate and will facilitate, and we will try our best to ensure that whatever we do in terms of the FTAs, in terms of partnerships at the government to get government level, will in the end translate to more opportunities for our business sector.
PM Irshad from Tamil Nadu. Just one question. How do you assess Malaysia's chairmanship of ASEAN this year in navigating the bloc in the turbulent times?
Well, I made a post on it. I think Malaysia has been a very effective and energetic chair, and I congratulated Prime Minister Anwar on his chairmanship of ASEAN. There's still more to come. It's not over yet, but given what has transpired so far, how Malaysia has helped to steer ASEAN through challenges, including the U.S. tariff actions, humanitarian crisis in Myanmar, difficult issues like the conflict in Palestine and Gaza. These are all global issues that matter to us as well in ASEAN, and Malaysia has taken the lead to help ASEAN navigate these issues and also taken the lead to help ASEAN forge stronger partners with GCC, for example, and putting together the ASEAN-GCC summit as well as the ASEAN GCC China Summit this time around. So we commend our Malaysian chair for what they have done this year. We look forward to our turn to host, which is coming not very far from now. And so our officials are taking notes and also preparing for when Singapore will host the next ASEAN Summit.